On this edition of the Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our YouTube channel, The Recap, R-E-K-A-P, get it? And available audio only anywhere you get your podcasts. Gordon Whitmire and I talk about the state of the Cubs after they dropped 2 of 3 in Colorado to a bad Rockies team and give you the latest goings on in the race to get to the 2023 postseason. Welcome in to the Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our YouTube channel, The Recap, here and available audio only anywhere you get your favorite podcast with my partner, Gordon Whitmire. I'm David Kaplan. Okay, Gordon, the Cubs are on the verge of dropping 2 of 3 to a lousy and awful Colorado Rockies club. Chris Bryant home runs on Tuesday and Wednesday's game. So Jameson Taillon blows a 3-0 lead. More than a little concerned that that guy can't pitch.
You know, it's crazy. The guy's got a track record. He's done it his whole career. And the last place he was at was New York. I mean, if you can pitch for the Yankees, you can pitch for anybody, right? So this isn't between the ears with this guy. I don't know what's gotten into him. I don't know what the problem has been this year. But you're right. He can't. And that's a huge problem for these guys. Because Drew Smyly can't pitch in their rotation either. They don't have much down the stretch. All of a sudden, they're the Diamondbacks. They're the Giants. They're the Reds. A whole bunch of teams that are lucky if they have 2 starters that can match up against anybody down the stretch in this wild card race.
Yeah, the Cubs have 3. Wicks, Steele, Hendricks.
And Wicks just got to the big leagues. So who exactly. The hell knows what you get start to start with him? You love what you've seen so far, but you just don't know what you can count on down the stretch when the games get even hotter and bigger.
And, you know, the news today is Max Scherzer's probably done for the season. He's got an injury, and they said they're not even counting on him being available in the playoffs. So there's a team that put a ton of money into their pitching. Jacob deGrom, Max Scherzer, Aroldis Chapman. I'm sure they would love to have Cole Reagans back from Kansas City, who's pitched lights out for them. They gave him up for Chapman. I'm sure they regret getting a 30 or 9 or 40-year-old Scherzer because he can't pitch. DeGrom's going to miss a good portion of next year with a Tommy John. So there's no guarantee. Spending does not guarantee you anything.
Nothing guarantees you anything. But I like what the Rangers did because it worked. It worked for a long time, and it should have worked this year. By the time they got Scherzer, they were already chasing bad money, and they were trying to keep something afloat. And if not for them being in the same division with the Astros, and if not for the Mariners just getting super hot, they might have still pulled that off. But I don't think it's fair and right to just simply say, well, there's a reason not to spend.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it doesn't guarantee you anything. They pushed all their chips in, gave up a top prospect, and here they are struggling.
Yeah, if I was a Rangers fan, I would be really disappointed, but I would be encouraged that my front office and my ownership did try that hard, did try to make it happen. And for so long, it looked like it was going to. I mean, what a thrill ride for about, if you count from the beginning of spring training, say through July, it was for Rangers fans. Hey, what is that? 4, 5.5 months? I mean, that's a pretty good thrill ride.
Okay, speaking of pitching, the Cubs obviously need more. Cade Horton might be here next year. Jordan Wicks is 2. Hendricks, Steele, there's 4. I would assume because of injury that Marcus Stroman will be picking up his option year and coming back, but you never know. He's going to try and pitch out of the bullpen potentially. Dude, here's that. I'll do anything they want. He's feeling better. He's throwing. And now comes word via Bob Nightingale that Jed Hoyer is flying to Japan to see Japanese superstar, ace pitcher Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So that got to cost you a lot of money.
That Aaron Nola is going to be out there. Blake Snell is going to be out there. I think you need to be in the running for one of those, because I'll tell you what, the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be in the running for about three starting pitchers out there. If they land two out of three, they could get really good really fast. And so if you're the Cubs, you got to stay ahead of the curve on this. But meanwhile, I don't know why we're talking about next year. There's games to be played this year that are huge. I mean, the bullpen just lost Alzolay too. We don't know. Does he come back or not?
Who knows? Flexor tendon injury. Candelario's on the injured list with a lower back strain. I mean, you just got Fulmer back. Leiter's running on fumes. The kid they got from Kansas City, Jose Quas, he's been up and down. He's got great stuff, but he's been up and down. So you've got a lot of issues with this pitching staff.
Yeah, which makes Stroman's status huge, right? All of a sudden, like, he makes the All-Star team as a starter this year. You think he's going to be one of your first few starters in a playoff series. Now you're looking at him and saying, he might be the savior as a bullpen piece if he can come back quickly enough and really contribute in the pen. That's going to be huge. I'm telling you, you look at this, the Cubs have a huge series against the Diamondbacks coming up. That could be decisive. I mean, depending on where they are, they're three games apart. No, they're two games apart going into Wednesday. That's a series that, depending on where they are when it starts, could swing the positions in one series. And then the Cubs have, what do they have?
They come home and get the Rockies and the Pirates.
Yeah, so they got to make waves there, because then they finish on the road with two tough series.
At Atlanta, and, at Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, I don't know where you're going to drop Justin Steele and Kyle Hendricks in there, but you better win their starts. And so if you get one game out of Atlanta, you might be lucky. So, I mean, you better make some serious waves on that homestand and do some damage in the desert. Because this wild card race, there are six teams as we go into Wednesday separated by five games. The Phillies are coming back to the pack a little bit.
Cubs began the day a game and a half out of the top wild card spot.
Well, yeah, but they were also two games out or two and a half out of not being in playoff position at all.
Correct.
So that's how crazy this is. Cincinnati down the stretch has a very easy schedule and off days. They only have one winning team the rest of the way, and that's Minnesota. Big deal. The Giants have a really tough schedule. You might as well write them off. In my mind, they got a series at Arizona, at LA. They finish up at home against LA. They got the Padres in between, which can be interesting. Who knows? But I think you can write them off. Miami finishes up with three against the Mets and two against Pittsburgh. So they're dangerous down the stretch too, as a team that's got an easier schedule. Watch Cincinnati and Miami. And I think Philadelphia is probably going to be okay. They're going to get one of those spots. So the Cubs really have to take advantage of it. I mean, losing a series to Colorado could be just deadly to your playoff hopes.
Yeah, Cubs right now, as we speak, two games behind the Phillies for the top spot, and they are two and a half ahead of the Cincinnati Reds. So it's going to be a crapshoot the rest of the way their pitching has been. And if you can't count on a $68 million acquisition of Jameson Taillon, you got real troubles.
No doubt about that one. And there's just, I don't know how you explain that. What does Taillon say about it, right? I don't know. Steele can't do it all. Steele and Hendricks can't do it all, even though I really, how can you not like what those guys have done? Even just recently, against Milwaukee, against San Francisco, against Arizona, those two guys both came up really big in all three of those series. That's the kind of thing that, when you look ahead, gives you some optimism. If they were to get into a first round of the playoffs where you just got to win two games, and then maybe you steal something in a five game series in the second round, but you got to get there. And right now, man, it is a tough road for the Cubs right now, even though they're in playoff position as we talk.
Gordon, the other thing is that Pete Crow-Armstrong was recalled from the minors. He started the last two games of the Colorado series. He doesn't have a hit yet, but defensively, he looked like a wizard.
Oh, my God. He looked like Bellinger in his youth on his best day times two. Those are some terrific catches. We'll see what he does with the bat. As a run prevention guy, I mean, look, if you did nothing more than make him a late inning defensive guy down the stretch with some pinch running in there and some matchup hitting, and that could be an asset for you. That could be a bit of a weapon. Certainly could for a team that already catches the ball so well. I mean, you could really tighten things up even more.
I'm also hearing the Cubs are going to be pushing their chips in on Cody Bellinger, like really getting aggressive when the season ends to get him signed. Now, the question is, how many years is it going to end up taking?
Right.
That is the question.
You know, just look across the field in Colorado to get a sense of what you're up against, because it took one team to come in and give Chris Bryant all that money. $182 million for, 8 years? More than the Cubs, by far, were willing to spend. Cody Bellinger might be a different calculus for them. I would imagine he is, based on his age and what he's done this year. I understand he's got desire to stay, but he's also got desire, him and his agent, to look at the market. They're going to have to pay market prices. I don't think they get him at a discount. If they do, it ain't by much. A year, a couple million AAB. But this is going to be a huge ticket signing. And if you do that, where they might fall on the luxury tax threshold, if Stroman's back, it might cost you the ability to go as big as you want on pitching in the offseason.
Well, I think they're going to have to be in the tax next year. That's the other thing that we need to talk about. I don't see a scenario where they are not in the tax, because their window to win, so to speak, is now open.
Yeah, and I think they planned for that. I mean, I think that they're, and they can do that for a couple of years. But how much do you want to go over? And they've always, going all the way back to the first couple of years of Theo being here, you know, they've always used that, you know, like the Price is Right had that game where it had the range game, right, where the thing went up and you stopped it. They do that with their payrolls going out. Most teams do. I would hope all teams do. But, I mean, down to what the free agent classes look like, what your 0-3 guys might cost in arbitration by then. And so what do you want? How far do you want? Do you think you can go over for what you might have to adjust back in a few years? Because you can't stay over for too many years without it costing you some serious penalties in the draft and amateur spending allotments.
Right. It's not as someone I trust said to me, it's not the dollars that you have to write in luxury tax payments. If they feel they can win the World Series,
not for the Cubs,
whatever, we'll pay it. You're going to lose draft picks. You're not going to be able to sign international guys. Your pool in the draft is reduced. Those are the things that guys are trying to avoid.
Yeah, that's the huge thing. I mean, there's a handful of teams, 5 or 6 teams, where that's the only thing that matters. And that's the Cubs. Now, the Cubs get a little cheap for a big market team once in a while. That's ownership, you know, getting afraid of its financial shadow during a pandemic and things like that. But when we talk about what they can do based on their revenues, 100% right. They could go twice. pretty damn close to twice over the luxury tax threshold and be able to cover. It's not about the dollars. It is 100% about your ability to run your franchise on the other side, player acquisition, amateur acquisition, player development, and all that, because those are hard caps.
Gordon, the Cubs defense in the Rockies series, pathetically bad, and their base running was worse.
Yeah, PCA didn't help the base running either with a couple rookie mistakes. But if, I mean, what he did in the field, come on, you got to like that.
He lost one in the sun today. That'll happen. Ian Happ dropped one. But you had Bellinger throwing out, trying to stretch a double. Madrigal out, trying to stretch into a triple last night. You had Nico Horner throwing out, stealing. Can't make those mistakes, man.
Well, what's do they not have scouting reports on that catcher with that arm? Good Lord. How many times did he throw him out? I mean, really, he's one of the best throwing catchers in the league. What are you doing?
He's a beast.
Yeah.
All right, Gordon, we will get down to the next 2 weeks and see who's going to the playoffs, my man.
I tell you what, we could do a podcast every 3 days and have a lot to talk about, Cap.
Well, if anything breaks or anything's really pressing, your phone will ring.
You got it, man. I'll be there.
All right. Have a great day. There he is. That's my guy, Gordon Wittenmeyer. It's another edition of the Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our YouTube channel here, The Recap, and available audio only anywhere you get your favorite podcast. For Gordon, I'm Cap. We'll see you next time. Take that.